Thank you for today. We open ourselves up to you. We call upon your Holy Spirit to guide us in the things we're going to share, Lord, and to anoint your word so that we may be able to hear it and receive it in our hearts, Lord. It may be producing fruit in us and bring about the changes you want us to experience and to grow into. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for we know that you send it for a purpose, and that that purpose may be fulfilled in us. We pray, ask you, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 These are exciting times. If we realize it or not, sometimes we can look at all the negative things that are taking place, and they occupy our mind far too much compared to the positive things that are taking place. The Holy Spirit is moving in a way today that I think never moved before. And so is the enemy. But that's what we should expect. This is a time of separations of the sheep from the goats. And this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to become more and more evident. It's not the labels we put on ourselves that makes a difference. It's the truth and how the word works in us to establish the things in us that God wants to see there. So this is it's an exciting time because there are manifestations today in the Spirit of God in the life of people that are far superior to anything that happened before in terms of results and in terms of understanding and in terms of impact. Not just the, you know, things that are a show. God is not producing show for the sake of making shows. God makes a difference and breakthroughs and empowers his people to do the things that need to be done today. One of the things that is happening is we are getting, you know, it's evident one thing, that we are getting close to the coming back of the Lord. It's evident from so many different things, from so many fulfillment of prophecies and so on and so forth, but that's not even the thing we should focus on. Is the growing of our understanding of what the Word says. The growing of our understanding of how to let the Word change us and empower us to be able to be the people that God wants us to be. We have been talking about the manifestations of God's sons and the transformation that of us to become more and more in the image of Christ. Now that, you know, up to recently, it was just something that was looked at as something so far away and so theoretical, more than real and realistic. And with the understanding that is associated with it, from a practical point of view, not just a theological point of view, I think that people can come into a realization that is not so far away, that is not so far reached and so up in the sky. It really has to happen down here and has to happen with us. And our attitude, the position we take concerning these things makes all the difference. Because our attitude enables us to receive things that otherwise are closed to us. that are we just positionally reject. And so automatically are not going to have an effect on us, and the words and the impact of the Word of God on us, it just passes us through and goes without leaving anything behind. We have to be open to the Word of God for everything it says, to be able to receive from it. And the position of our heart concerning these things is what makes all the difference. We had to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because this is the beginning of the manifestation of what God wants to do with us. That is the beginning of the transformation in us, in which we become not what the past is for us, but we become the people that God has planned for us to be. Now, in that process I shared before, there are three steps. You know, the first one, you have to realize or know mentally, know it in understanding, so that you can realize, you know, what the next step is, what is expected. But just, and this is what most people stop to. See, just, they do Bible study. Bible study in itself is not the answer. This is just the beginning. This is just where you start. Knowing the scripture, you can know all the scripture by heart and not even be saved. Because salvation is not in your mind, it's in your heart. And you know, you may know no scriptures and get saved, because you have the right attitude and you grab onto something that is real. So it's not your mind understanding that is going to empower you. Oh, there is power in your mind, not, you know, yes, for sure, but it's very limited. Maybe it's more than just limited. You know, as you can do lots of things just through your mind. This is what most of the people do. God wants us to break loose from the limitations of our mind. Jesus wasn't limited by the things that everybody thought, because his mind was beyond that. He had the mind of Christ. And we're supposed to have that mind if we read the New Testament. So the first understanding, the knowing, is there, that he has to be there, but it's not enough. Then we have to start to do. We have to start putting to practice, put into work what we have learned. Put into work those ideas and see the implications. You see, one of the things that we stop is really to think about, you know, that's great, sounds good. Sound good is not good enough. There has to be good. Not sound good. And so we had to start putting to work, putting to practice what we have learned. See, to do that, there has to be a vision and understanding, the ability to see the implications on the impact of the truth that we have learned. Because otherwise we don't know what to do with it. Otherwise, we can have a limited ability to implement the ideas that are there. They remain theoretical, they remain theological. God has not written a book in theology, he has written a Bible that goes beyond every man's theology or organization of God's ideas. It's the Holy Spirit who empowers us to achieve the things and the result that the Word says we should have. We cannot have those things just getting them, our mind to work or being organized or doing one of the other things that your mind tries to make you do. I'm not saying that you have to be disorganized. Don't read my words in the wrong way. But that's not going to do it. One thought from God has the power to change your life if it's implemented in you, if it's working in you. One word. So, but with that, the impact of that this doing enables us to experience and to understand at a different level. Our knowledge is not limited to the mind knowledge. It's a question of actually knowing with all our being. So that we are rather than just know. We become it. We become the Word. We become the Word made flesh. We have to realize that. We have to realize that this is God's plan for us. This is the call we have in our life. And because of that, we have to learn to do certain things that need to be done, which is not just to go to church on Sunday morning. Or on Thursday night. He is 24/7 implementing the Word in our life that makes a difference. So there is, the Bible is full of exhortations to encourage us to do certain things that are going to have an impact on the way we receive and appropriate the Word. But the first is to know and realize that the Word, the Bible is the Word of God. It's God speaking to you personally. And that you take seriously what it says and you are open to what He has to say. You see, the openness of your heart is what makes the difference for you to receive it and to be able to appropriate what is there. Everything that we appropriate from God, there are two steps in it. The first step is we appropriate spiritually. I mean, we receive it in the spirit, our spirit. The second step is when starting to work within us and there is going to be a physical manifestation of what that is all about. If the Word of God is going to clean us, first it's going to show us the things that we have to be cleansed of. And then, if you really receive it, those things are going to drop off our life. If the Word of God has to heal us, first of all, we have to receive that, yes, I am healed in Jesus' name, and by stripes I was healed, and then we are going to be able to see it because we stand on that truth. And we are not moved. And we become doers to the little extent because there is a manifestation corresponding to the theory, to the ideas, to the thoughts that are abstract and not physical. But the abstract and not physical, for the man, the carnal man that is based on the senses, is immaterial. It's foolishness. Praise the Lord. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. See, we have to stop thinking like mere men. And start thinking, God wants us to think like He does think. The way God thinks is the way we have to learn to think. He said, well, you know, that seems to me pretty far-fetched. But that's what God expects from us. The word said, we have the mind of Christ. How do you have the mind of Christ? What do you think is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is simply the fact that he thought the way God thinks. And he got that from what? The Word. So the Word is available to us as much as it was available to him. And consequently, if we don't have it, it's because we have really not done our job. The Holy Spirit is there to minister to us and enable us to fulfill it and to receive it in ourselves, because he is revealing to us what is there if we are open. Okay. Actually, we are ready for the next topic. And we just to announce it today. Okay. The title of the next topic is The Helper. The Helper. You know, probably the Holy Spirit is one of the least understood of the persons of the Trinity. There are books about it, but really, there is so many funny ideas about the way he actually operates. So we are going to see scriptures, and I want to see why he's called the Helper. Because generally what happens is that according to the way they've been applied up to recently, he's not a helper. I mean, he's not our helper. We are helping him. Instead, it's just the opposite. He helps us. And we have to understand what that means. Otherwise, Jesus would not have called him the helper. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When we understand that, then things become so easier, so much easier for us to do God's will and to achieve the results that God wants us to have. Okay, that's just for intro for, I don't know when, next week, 2 weeks ago, from 2 week from now, whatever. So Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, says, therefore, when therefore is there is always a reason, isn't it? It's because of that reason. So therefore, one, strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. So this is some instruction. These are exhortations that we had to do in terms of be able to implement the Word of God in our life. Okay. Evidently, this is not something that God is going to do, because it says strength, you have to do that. Okay, it's not something that is going to be automatically coming on you. This is it's something that you had to decide and you had to actually implement. You are doing this, not God. Okay? Very often we try to get God to do the things that we should be doing. And then you expect that because it doesn't happen, we blame God because they are not happening. When instead God is waiting for us. You know, I always can never forget, you know, because I was exposed like everybody else to the understanding that is so common today. That when I want to go to get into the ministry, I was waiting for God to do something. And I can always remember it when, I went to this place and God supernaturally got me there, whatever. And my desire was just, I had to start. God wants me to start. But I need the green light. So I go there for prayer, and this guy looked at me and says, you know, what are you waiting for? You're waiting for me, I've been waiting for you. That was good enough for me to say, well, that's the time. But it wasn't necessary. You see, that was my poor understanding, and this is so common. To be honest, that doesn't mean you jump into something, you know, without wisdom. You know, you have to use God's wisdom when you make a decision. When you make an important decision, you have to use God's wisdom. But don't go by fleecing, because you get fleeced. Okay, so strengthen your hand, which hang down. So, you know, for us it's naturally to get tired. For us it's naturally to just get lazy. And the feeble knee. So, you know, that implies something. You know, we need to be determined. We are not going to be affected. We are not going to be moved by our physical things. We have to make that decision. And two, make straight the path for your feet. So really, there is a second thing that we had to do. There is a choice that we had to make. We had to make choices ourselves. God is not going to make choices for us. We had to make the right choices, and the right choices are not so difficult to do because they had to line up with the Word. So that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. And this is really what it's saying to us, is plan your course. You have to plan what you want to do, what you want to achieve, and has to line up with the Word. And it's something that you had to do. God is not going to do it for you. Now, there are some things that go together with this. In verse 14 says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. That means, you know, the attitude that we should have should be this one here that is explaining. You see, don't try to be fighting your way through. And you have to be holy, and that means separated unto God. Don't be in the world and expect, don't have one foot in and one foot out and expect you get anywhere with God. See, what you mix with is going to determine what you're going to be. Pursue peace and with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So that's pretty clear. I mean, unless we separate ourselves, there's no way we are going to see where we are going. All right? Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. So evidently there is a possibility of doing that. Because otherwise would not warn us about falling short. It's not that everything is going to fall on us. It's that we had to make the right decision. We had to be determined. We had to not give in, not to be tired. You know, we get easily tired physically because there is so much to do all the time. You know, and the more you have to do, and the more is going to come to you, no matter what, because the world is always keep you busy. I mean, even in the world, they know that. The world, they know that you have to select the things you choose and determine priorities in your life, because otherwise you're going to go under, or you're going to waste your time in things that are not important. Praise the Lord. So, we need to be careful not to fall short. And the way you do it is lest the root of bitterness spring up and cause trouble. And by many become defiled. See, one of the things is people get bitter, get offended, get tired, then get resentful and they get offended and they get bitter and they produce problem with others too. Because this is the way the enemy works. He works through bitterness that is established in somebody's heart to affect other people around it and so to spread it around. And last, that's the second thing, there be any fornication or profane person like Esau, for one morsel of food sold his birthright. That's a funny combination, don't you think? I mean, he's comparing fornication with Esau that sold his birthright for a morsel of food, some lentils. Don't you think it's a strange combination? I mean, the interesting thing is that, it's putting those two things on the same level. See, we have established a hierarchy of gravity of things. Okay, fornication is really a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. The thing is here, it makes it on equal footing with Esau just for a soup to give up his birthright. You see, but actually they are very similar. See, both as determined by the flesh. See, the desires of the flesh. And what is the desire of the flesh do is make you forfeit what is yours in Christ for something that is less worthy of being received. Okay? I mean, sex in marriage is God's idea. So it's not a bad thing in itself. It's when it becomes an element that makes you choose to do the things that God said not to do, so that you lose God's blessing, that's when it becomes a problem. Hello? And it's no difference if that is this, or you give up, or you eat yourself up with the wrong things, when you know that you should be looking after your body, because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hello? You see, our birthright is to be in connection with God, to be blessed by God, to go around with God working in us, to guide us, to empower us, to enable us to do the things that He calls us to do, and to be spreading our truth to others. Not other things. But when other things become more important than that, and we choose those things because our flesh wants them, be it, any idol. And this is, could have said, use another word, could have used the word idol. Any idol that we have, that is not our Jehovah Rapha, our Jehovah Shalom, our God is wrong. And He robs us of our relationship with Him. Are you following me? So, today things are distorted. Everything, this is a disease. I mean, you have addiction of drugs, or it's a disease. No, I'm sorry, it's sin. Hello? Because maybe after becomes a disease, but when you choose it at the beginning, it was sin, and you choose to go the wrong way instead of the right way. Fornication is the same thing. You know, once you have decided to go that way, you are doing the wrong decision, and it's sin to start with, and then becomes an addiction, like pornography and stuff like that. But what he's telling us with this comparison is that when we, you know, today, people have eating disorders. Let's deal with that. Tell me, what's the difference? I have a problem seeing any. You are using food to deal with the problem, it's spiritual. And that becomes an addiction. And you are bound by it, and you're ruining your body to give in to a physical attraction. You can break that addiction and that problem. Instead of starting to call it as a disease, you start dealing with spiritually, and that can be broken like that, like anything else that the word can do. It can set you free from a demon, and this is a demon of gluttony. Hello? Ouch! You know, today, the psychologists come up with all their great ideas that are actually unscriptural to set people free. It's the word and the truth that set people free, not man's ideas. There is no power to set people free in our mind. Oh, you can be working out and have a theology, you know, theology, that's a good word. It's true. It becomes a theology. See, Jesus came to set the whole man free. Spirit, soul, and body. And when we let the word of God work in us, this is what we are going to experience. There is no sickness or disease that can keep us bound. There is no bondage that can keep us under it. No addiction that can keep us out. No demon that is powerful enough to overcome Jesus' blood. He did it, and he said it's finished. And when we start accepting that and start putting it into work and start stabilizing ourselves, start not being moved by the physical things that we see around, we see the result of these things in our life, and it works 100% of the time. And if it doesn't work 100% of the time, it's our fault, not God's fault. It's not because God doesn't want to. It's because we either don't know how or somewhere or another we give in and we are too weak in our senses. We are too fleshy. That's a tough message. I recognize that. You want victory? You have to get tough. There's only one way. Jesus wasn't a pushy guy, you know, he just pushed around easily. He never was moved by anything that happened. You know, even when they wanted to throw him down the cliff, they were able to do anything with him. The only time when he even could get hand on him is because he gave himself to them. And he wants us to be the same. You don't get there overnight. Be nice. Okay? But it's not so far. And we have to learn that we can move farther and farther and farther in that experience so that we can start taking a position of victory. Jesus was victorious in everything, even in his death. because he came back with great victory. So that we can know that we can have victory as we die to the old man. But that's a thing. That's the important concept that we have to receive. Unless the old man dies, the new man is not going to be there. And you don't kill the old man, just simply say, oh, I'm saying a sinner's prayer. Hello? This is an ongoing process in which the word shredded to pieces the old man and put the new one in place. Are you following me? This sounds difficult and sounds, you know, hard, but this is not hard. This is glorious. Hallelujah. God, this is what God wants for us. Praise the Lord. You know, this is what I'm sharing, you know, as born-again believers, we have some birthrights that we had to bring, that we had to enforce against the enemy. The enemy doesn't give in easily. He we had to get in and take them away from him. And we can do that only when we know that we have this birthright. If you don't know that God wants to heal you, and God is going to heal you, and that if you are doing what the Word of God says, you are going to be healed, you cannot take it. And many don't. But this is not God's plan. Hallelujah. Let's read the verse 17 there that comes after. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted, this is talking about Esau, when he wanted to inherit the blessings, he was rejected, and he found no place for repentance, though he thought it diligently with tears. You see, that's the thing. When we know what we have, and we choose the other, often, it's very difficult to get back to what is ours. Hallelujah. This is not a good place to be. That's not a good place that we want to stay, because we want to be fully manifested in us what God, what Jesus died for and suffered for, so that we may acknowledge and be grateful for what he has done. Where is our focus? In what he has done and has procured for us, or what our senses tell us? You see, it's so easy to respond to our senses because, that's what we are trained to do. But really, that's what God wants to do, is to train us to walk in the kingdom. This is why it says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom, you cannot enter the kingdom. See, to enter into the kingdom means to be able to live at that level in which your physical senses are not anymore the predominant element, but the Word of God, the truth of God, the reality of the spirit world becomes more important than the physical world. You start living on a different dimension. And it's not so complicated, actually. And that dimension is really shown to us by the Word of God. Hallelujah. In 2 Peter 1:2 says there, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus. Knowledge there is epignosko, which actually means, the full discernment, the full understanding, the full experience of God and Jesus. See, this is why the thing I was saying before, you know, there is a knowing component that we comes there, but this is not knowing, because gnosko is knowing, but this is epignosko. That means, you know, knowing beyond, knowing fully. This is what God wants us to have. That's what's going to bring peace and grace. See, the grace is nothing else than the manifestation of our faith working. Grace is our ability to overcome our circumstances. Grace is the ability to be set free from our bondages. We don't deserve it, but that's not the key thing. Grace is power. Charis, which is actually the same word as charismatic, which means, you know, that there is energy coming out of you, ability coming out of you. And, you know, we are close to the end here, but so I had to close, but evidently it's going to take another week. Are you following me? Do you see God's plan? This is not my idea. These are the scriptures. That the scripture tells us that. You see, it's the question of connecting with what the scriptures show us that is there for us to be able to receive that inheritance that Jesus procured for us. He did everything that was needed. Now it's our part to take it. So continue here. Grace and peace are multiplied to you in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, our God, and Jesus our Lord. Us, and this is how that happens, us is divine power. Okay, here, divine power is theos dunamis, which is actually means, you know, God-like supernatural power. So is divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I mean, all things. Can you say all things? I mean, that means just some of it. You know, everything that you need for life and godliness to behave the way God wants you to behave. He has provided all things, not through your mind, but through His divine, supernatural power, dunamis, which is actually from which the word comes from, dynamite. So it's explosive power. Hello? I mean, that should get us excited. Not just sitting there and say, oh yes, that's good. I mean, that should produce in us naturally a glory fit. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, that's the problem. That's what the word does. You know, if I read this stuff before going to bed, I can't sleep after. Because I get so excited that I can't go to sleep. I'm serious. You know, so I have to be careful when I go to bed not to pray too hard, because otherwise the night is gone. And often I make that mistake. Right? But makes a difference. You know? The following morning, you are ready to go. Hallelujah. Let me finish this verse. You know, His divine power, so His godlike power, you know, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of Him. Again, it's the epignosko is the same, the fact that, you know, the full understanding of Him who called us to be glory and virtue. I mean, the full understanding of Him, that means having, you can interpret this two ways. I mean, full understanding about Jesus, but that's not really what it's saying. I don't believe that that's what it's saying. What he's saying is the full understanding of Him, that means the full understanding He had. When we fully understand things the way he understood them, then we have the full understanding of him. Otherwise, we don't. It's not a question of seeing a Jesus, image of Jesus, you know, like in a religious thing. That's nothing to do with that. It's the understanding that he knew about reality that enabled him to say to demons, go, and he went. And the other one says, be healed, and he was healed. He wasn't there spending a night prayer to try to get the guy healed. You know, I strongly believe that that's the way it should be for us too. Praise the Lord. Well, I think that we are running out of time. Praise God. So are you following what I'm telling you? See, this is God's plan. This is what we had to get in. This is what we had to move in. And this is the time that God is releasing that understanding, not just to me, but to many. And we are not connected by some denomination or some organization of men. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, the helper, that is helping us to get it. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And isn't God good? He's awesome. You know, one of the things, one of the way we take possession of our things is by our confession. You see? I mean, that's what it says in Romans, doesn't it? We confess with our mouth and believe with our heart. Now, you know, if you confess with your mouth and you don't believe with your heart, it doesn't work. But when you believe it with your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be set free. Saved, delivered, done, healed, everything you got. So I think we should do that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. This morning, we make a decision. We are going to be strong in you. Our hands will not be weak, nor hang down. Our knees will not be feeble, because we decide to apply the word of God to our life and to start living by your spirit instead of by your flesh. Your flesh is not our flesh. Our flesh is weak, but your spirit is strong, and it's going to enable us to have victory over our flesh as we depend on the word of God and receive that word in our hearts to change us, empower us, give us victory over all enemy. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So you wait a few minutes and